There was a lake a mile from his uncle's farm, where he and his uncle used to go in the fall for firewood. He sat in the back of the rowboat, trailing his hand in the cold wake, while his uncle bent to the oars. His feet in their black kid shoes braced against the uprights, his straw hat, his cob pipe in his teeth, and a thin drool swinging from the pipe bowl. He turned to take a sight on the far shore, cradling the oar handles, taking the pipe from his mouth to wipe his chin with the back of his hand. The shore was lined with birch trees that stood bone pale against the dark of the evergreens beyond. The edge of the lake was a rip-rap of twisted tree stumps, gray and weathered, the windfall trees of a hurricane years past. The trees themselves had long been sawed for firewood and carried away. His uncle turned the boat and shipped the oars, and they drifted over the sandy shallows until the transom grated in the sand. A dead perch lolling belly up in the clear water. Yellow leaves. They left their shoes on the warm painted boards and dragged the boat up onto the beach and set out the anchor at the end of its rope, a lard can poured with concrete with an eye bolt in the center. They walked along the shore while his uncle studied the tree stumps, puffing at his pipe, a manila rope coiled over his shoulder. He picked one out and they turned it over, using the roots for leverage, until they got it half-floating in the water. Trousers rolled to the knee, but still they got wet. They tied the rope to a cleat at the rear of the boat and rowed back across the lake, jerking the stump slowly behind them. By then it was already evening, just the slow, periodic rack and shuffle of the oarlocks. The lake, dark glass and window lights coming on along the shore, a radio somewhere. Neither of them had spoken a word. This was the perfect day of his childhood. This the day to shape the days upon. They bore on south in the days and weeks to follow, solitary and dogged. A raw hill country. Aluminum houses. At times they could see stretches of the interstate highway below them through the bare stands of second-growth timber. Cold and growing colder. Just beyond the high gap in the mountains, they stood and looked out over the great gulf to the south, where the country, as far as they could see, was burned away, the blackened shapes of rock standing out of the shoals of ash and billows of ash rising up and blowing down country through the waste, the track of the dull sun moving unseen beyond the murk. They were days fording that cauterized terrain. The boy had found some crayons and painted his face mask with tangs, and he trudged on, uncomplaining. One of the front wheels of the cart had gone wonky. What to do about it? Nothing. Where all was burnt to ash before them, no fires were to be had, and the nights were long and dark and cold beyond anything they'd yet encountered. Cold to crack the stones, to take your life. He held the boy shivering against him and counted each frail breath in the blackness. He woke to the sound of distant thunder and sat up, the faint light all about quivering and sourceless, refracted in the rain of drifting soot. He pulled the tarp about them, then he lay awake a long time listening. If they got wet, there'd be no fires to dry by. If they got wet, they would probably die.